Good morning. Great to have your company on the Big Sports Breakfast. What a weekend it was in sport. Here in Australia, it doesn't get too much better than this. Golden Slipper Day there at Rose Hill, 5 Group 1s, and what a fantastic result with Lady of Camelot taking it out. At the latter end of the day, a big news story, Karen McAvoy going down, and we do have an update on the star jockey who had a terrible-looking fall. Our footy codes are in full swing. Our cricket season culminated with the Sheffield Shield WA Too Good once again. The Grand Prix was firing there in Melbourne. A little bit of controversy too with two of the biggest names in the sport ultimately failing to complete the race. In the basketball, Clarkie's second favourite team, the Jack Jumpers, were absolutely brilliant and a buzzer beater that has to be seen to be believed. Everywhere you look, there were sporting highlights, controversy, talking points, and we can't wait to take you through all of those throughout the course of the morning. Laurie Daly is here, and so too, would you believe it, Michael Clark, who finally returns, the favourite son, Loz.
Yes, he's back from Pakistan. I've got a lot to ask him. He made news while he was away. There was plenty of stories written. There was plenty of things said about him, so we need to dig a little bit deeper. But you know what? It's great to be back. It's great to see his smiling face, his beautiful face. Mm. And I'm really looking forward to having you back working with me today, Michael.
Hello, and boys.
With Ben. How are
Good
you,
morning.
Mate?
I'm well. I'm well, thank you. I was back for Friday. I'm back in studio today, which is nice. It's nice to be home. Mm. Got to say, I watched that much sport over the weekend. It wasn't funny. And the smile is loud and proud, Loz, not only because I'm back, but, mate, what about the Tigers?
Yes.
What about the Tigers? I can't wait for Bulldog's article. Where's the headline, Bulldog? Benji, best coach of all time.
Well, you're right, because they were magnificent,
Clarkie. Brilliant, weren't
they? I only saw the highlights. I was at a party on Saturday night. But the West Tigers, to be able to beat the Sharks, who were flying high, was a remarkable performance. They won 32-6, and the Sharks had played some decent football, and I expected them to be a lot better against the Tigers, and that was the type of game that the Sharks really, in the past, have won. They've struggled against teams that they're, expected to be top eight teams, but the teams below them on the competition table were not expected to make the eight. The Sharks, that's been their bread and butter over the last couple of years. So to get there to Leichhardt Oval, where there were 16,500 people, was a tremendous result for them, and give them some hope and some excitement. Because the previous week against the Raiders, while there were glimpses, there were still aspects of their game that struggled.
Yep. For me, the Tigers were the story of the weekend, but there were multiple storylines. Even the blowout games were enthralling as the storylines unfolded. The Roosters were so dominant, but the Rabbitohs are the talking point out of that. Yeah. The Bulldogs 32-0 against the Titans, and things just seem to go from bad to worse for Gold Coast. So,
what I've seen of the Titans over the opening couple of weeks of the comp, Benny, they're now my favourites to win the wooden spoon. I know it's early to sort of put a wrap on someone like that, but what they did,
I wouldn't call it a wrap.
Against the Dragons in round one, they were very poor. Then they had to buy. Then they came back and put up a display like that. 32-0 against a Bulldogs team who was struggling to score points. They lost Tino.
Yeah, now lost their best player for
the season. Best player. Yeah. And I think without him, they are going to struggle. And not only will the Titans struggle, I reckon Queensland. I think he's arguably the best front rower in the game, Tina. I put him in the same class as Fanua, Blake, Fisher, Harris, Payne, Haas. I don't think there's a struck match between them.
Mm. Where are the Broncos at?
Injuries. That's the problem with them at the moment.
Mm. Do we know a time on Reynolds?
He could be back this weekend. Okay. But they've got the Cowboys and then they've got the Melbourne Storm coming off a bye. Melbourne played last night, obviously.
Confirmed fracture, wasn't it, for Reece Walsh?
So Reece Walsh, cheekbone fracture. Payne Haas,
what's
knee
that,
surgery.
4-6?
4-6. Yeah. Payne Haas, knee surgery, 4-6. Adam Reynolds, medial ligament. You know what a medial ligament's like. They could heal in 10, 12 days.
Yeah, but the thing about Adam Reynolds, I feel like that's going to be a little example of what this season's going to look like for him as well. Like, I think there's going to be patches where just his body at this stage, he's probably going to need a week or 2 weeks off. He's going to get that soft tissue. Like, I just feel like he's at that age now.
Yeah, you just got to manage him properly.
I think so.
He's had a lot of football.
Yeah.
And they need him. Yeah. But the thing about resting out of Reynolds is that they'll need to win games along the way. Mm. Because if you're in a good position, you can rest people, you can manage them. But if you're struggling, lose games early in the season, all of a sudden you're chasing your tail. And that's what the Broncos weren't doing last year. The Broncos were winning games, getting themselves in a good position. Because remember the previous season, they played really well up until Origin. And then the back end of the season, they fell away. Mm. Last year, they were able to start the season really well, get wins on the board. And then through that Origin period, they were able to manage their players really well. Mm. And they got through to the grand final. But it's not the way you want to start, is losing your best players with injury.
Tell you the way you don't want to start, what the hell is going on with South Sydney? How can that team be playing that bad? Like, I understand, and I've, again, been fortunate enough to be a part of, you know, some great teams. And, yeah, you don't win everything. Mm. Sometimes you can lose. But in great teams with great players, it's nearly like you judge yourself so hard that you don't allow that to happen again. You lose once, then the next game you come out to make a statement, because that's what being a great player is about. Like, no way in the world would Shane Warne let us lose three games in a row. No chance. He would take it personally. He would take it upon himself. Glenn McGrath the same. Ricky Ponting the same. Adam Gilchrist. This South Sydney team, Latrell, Cody, I know Jack just played his first game, but there's three examples. Mate, you cannot be playing this bad with superstars in your team.
Well, I think you just summed it up there when you said play well as a team. They're not playing well as that team. Individually, there's some players there that are going okay. Some players are trying too hard. There's others that are just not connected at all. And one thing that they won't like said about them, but they're shying away from the tough work. And the tough work starts in the middle of the field. So that is all the little things that you base your game off are the boring things in the game, but you've got to do them well. So that's like being aggressive in defence and being tight in the middle of the ruck. And that's where it all stems from. And if you're getting blown apart through the middle, good luck trying to stop what's coming at you on the edges. And then when you get the ball back, if the opposition are dominating, putting the ball in the corner, you're working it off your own line. You've got no energy to attack. And for mine, they've got to go back to the simplicity of the game, which is run hard, tackle hard, and have a bit of enthusiasm and intent in everything they do.
There are a couple of people who tried to sound the alarm bells last season, Loz.
Mm.
They tried to say some things here need to be addressed, otherwise it's going to get out of control, and you can't help but think those same things have.
Well, that'll be the narrative, won't it? Because they haven't addressed, well, they might have addressed it, but it looks like they haven't addressed the issue. Now, internally, this is where you learn a lot about your footy club, because inside those four walls, if they're as strong as what they're saying they are, they'll come out the other side. But if there's fractures within that group, it's only going to get worse. And they get a great opportunity this week taking on the Bulldogs on Good Friday to say to everyone, hey, listen, yes, people on the outside are concerned, but we know exactly what we're doing, we know the path we're on, and we know how to fix it. Because there's reports going around that Jason Demetriou may only have three games to save his career at South Sydney.
Oh, my God.
Because they've got the bye in round seven. And they've got a tough draw coming up. They've got the Bulldogs. I think the Warriors are another team they have to play. So that's in the next couple of weeks before the bye. And the Sharks. So they've got the Dogs, Warriors and Sharks next three games. So if they can't win two of those, then he's under all sorts of pressure.
Can you tell me why? Like, they dropped Ilias. They dropped their halfback. They've got Jack Whiten, who's played six his whole career at the Raiders. Can you tell me, the team's under the pump. He's a senior player. Why would he not come in and play in the halves with Cody Walker and take any pressure away from a new young number seven?
Yeah, they could play like that. They could, or but give, I think it
give
takes
Ilias
away
the opportunity. Yeah. Like they've made him really
the
him
scapegoat.
And yeah, they really have.
No, it's in the middle where it's all starting for South Sydney. That's where they're getting blown apart. Would I do it?
Like in the current situation where your team's under the pump, you got so surely you're putting pressure on your senior players rather than a youngster. Surely.
Yeah, no, it's a fair call. And I reckon it'd be something that they would have thought long and hard about. But there's a couple of things that I look at. I look at both left-sided players,
yep.
Cody and Jack.
Yep.
So one of them's got to switch. Jack's a running player, and Cody, while he's a good ball player, I think you take away from his game if you put him on the ball. Yeah, okay. I think he's more that second receiver, get a bit of width and go to the line. Having said that, he's not playing well himself, so he's got to pick up his performances, but they all do. All South Sydney players have to pick up their own performance. But if you put Jack to 5'8", they'd simplify their game because it wouldn't be a passing game. It'd be a run-first game because that's his strength. So they're not going to try and play around teams. They'll play through teams.
Punters panel, multi got up. And so too did the multi here.
Yes.
Now, Adam Pengilly was in charge along with Middo.
No.
Well, that's...
Geez, I've missed you, Loz.
No, mate.
Did it win?
No,
did win. Did your multi win, Loz?
There is no I in...
Why would he be claiming it?
There was no I in
Loz
team.
Loz's multi, mate.
There's no I in team. And that's what I'm happy to do on this program. I share responsibility.
But you didn't
I don't want to
any.
Take all the credit.
You well, didn't take any responsibility.
Well, 100% I did. Right. So this is where you let yourself down. Because I made a couple of phone calls on Thursday. And I said, boys, I really like this multi we're putting together.
We?
Yes.
So which leg? So there were two legs. Which leg did you choose?
Well, I got
that's
a bit
leadership,
of,
isn't it?
Is 101 it leadership you, yes. is listening. And you've got to be a good listener to be a good leader.
And get the best out of your team.
Yeah, you've got to give them confidence. And then you've got to support them. So once you give them confidence, once you've given them the support they need, then you bring it all together. And that's what I'm good at.
Good course, so what were the two legs, do you remember?
Yes. Gambari.
Very good. To run.
To run top four.
Love
and
it.
And
oh, you're so close.
What was it called?
Via Sestina.
Via Sestina.
Same.
To win. And J-Mac was on that horse, and J-Mac actually gave it a wrap. A massive rap on Stanley's
absolutely
show.
Hammered in betting.
Was it?
And won like winks.
Yep.
No, fantastic multi. And well done to anyone who followed in. And it sounds as though, from the look of the text line, plenty did, which is absolutely brilliant to see. And, yeah, we've got plenty of good racing over the course of the next few weeks to reinvest anything you managed to pick up. We've got lots of text flooding through in terms of heroes and villains. And just a reminder, that will be the discussion point throughout the course of the morning, 13:53:53, for any heroes and villains you have throughout the weekend. And 0419 767 272, the text line. Keep those texts flooding through. It's a little early for me to launch with mine, but I will give a hint away. It's going to involve a major player that probably doesn't get the plaudits he deserves over in Western Australia. Or West Australia, as they like to call themselves. A three-peat in the Sheffield
Amazing.
Shield. They have been dominant in the Marsh Cup.
Yep.
They are honestly such a formidable team over there and made an absolute mess of Tassie, who thankfully did have one bright moment across the course of the weekend, and we had the privilege
wasn't
of watching
in cricket.
No, it was in basketball. Yep. Your second favourite team,
I'm a second team
had a final second success. And
God,
what a
good.
Shot it was.
Yep.
No, it was brilliant to see. So a Hail Mary for those who missed it from Jack McVeigh with 2 seconds left on the clock gave the Tasmania Jack Jumpers the opportunity to steal that game against Melbourne United. So they have a 2-1 lead in the best of five NBL Championship Series. And that was 93-91 officially in the end. In AFL circles, well, Sydney dominating, and I don't just mean the Sydney Swans, GWS and the Swans sitting top of the table. I think the story up until this point of the season, that, and maybe Collingwood, who are now 0-3, and you're starting to wonder, right, there was talk of a premiership hangover that was a touch premature, but how many games need to fall by the wayside before we start to believe it? The other, and I know that we've got a lot of South Australian listeners out there, and I'm as ardent Crows fan as there is, I do feel as though the Crows have got off to just a below-par start to date. Gold Coast were too good week one. They've
Crows
subsequently been beaten.
Well, Crows are a myth.
Where do you think they finish?
Well, I thought they'd improve out of sight this year.
So did I.
And they kept losing close games. Well, last year they lost close games, which cost them top eight.
I think they lost six by under 10 points.
So if you're a Crows supporter, start of the year, mate...
We've lost two close games again. Yeah.
I think that comes back and bites them on the bottom again.
It more than likely will. Well, Western Bulldogs made a mess of Gold Coast the following weekend, so that certainly doesn't frank the form. And then Geelong are going to be a good team. A few sort of suggested that they would have a bounce back season again this year, and they're just one of those clubs. They're like the Sydney Swans. They never have a bad year.
Who have you got this week?
Don't know yet. I'll have a look.
Because if you start 0-3,
it makes things hard.
Yeah.
Historically, you really do struggle.
Well, I don't think anyone. Was it the stat they were talking about last week? No Premier has started 0-2.
I haven't seen that stat. They haven't started 0-2.
I think I read that last week somewhere. Don't take that as gospel.
Okay.
As you do with a lot of things I say, don't take it as gospel.
My thought on that.
I can make things up on the road.
I could be completely wrong.
I like that.
our listeners can let us know.
I'll happily admit that.
Our listeners can let us know, but I thought that stat was that a reigning Premier hadn't started.
Oh, reigning Premier.
Not that a Premier of that season hadn't started 0-2.
Well, that's probably more.
But again, right, I don't want to correct
assumption.
You.
You're close enough.
So the Crows travel to Freo. They got a trip west.
Well, they're going all right, Freo.
They are, so. That one may be a little on the difficult side as well. Great to have your company here on the Big Sports Breakfast. Laurie Daly, Michael Clark, and Ben Way. A couple of texts coming through asking, where's Mido? Fair question. He is back Wednesday, so don't worry too much. He just is taking a couple of days break. Maybe he knew Clarkie was coming back.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
Well, you worked together on Friday, didn't you?
I did see him Friday, yeah.
How was Rose Hill Friday?
Very good.
Very good, yep. Was it?
Yep. It was. I think there was a bit of talk around. There was rain forecast.
Because it was a good four on Saturday. Because I was away Friday and I thought the same thing. It might have got some showers and
it blew over.
Expecting it to be.
Got upgraded during the day and it was a beautiful day's race. Yeah. Great crowd out there. Yeah. And there was so much theatre. I don't know whether you guys saw the clip of Gay Waterhouse watching the running of the slipper. But you could see the vested interest in the colt, or the colts for that matter.
Yeah.
And she's cheering on Stormboy, cheering on Stormboy, realises that Coleman has his measure, and you see the disappointment, only to then see, you know, Lady of Camelot burst through a gap, and she suddenly, she mouths, the filly, here we go, with a little fist bump, as though she always knew, you know, the filly was going to burst through. It really was great theatre. And that said, Matt Laurie, on the other side of things, he has Coleman, who, for all intents and purposes, should have won that slipper. I know that Stormboy missed the start, but this horse sat three deep throughout, was brave as the day is long, bounced back brilliantly, and it's been one hell of a training performance. So it's a big difference. You've probably got a $10, $20, $30 million colt on your hands, or you're still looking for that Group 1 win. It's amazing the difference, half length, the neck,
so
the nose.
So Stormboy continues on to the size.
I don't think that's a certainty.
Oh, right.
But we did hear from Adrian Bott that would be the plan. You just have to see with these youngsters how they pull up. Because a two-year-old season can end overnight. If they show signs that their preparation's over, you can't even consider pushing on.
Yeah.
But the run...
Was there a hard luck story out of the slipper? Well, I haven't gone back and watched
Stormboy,
it.
Stormboy missed the kick.
Yeah. Yeah, but other than, say, Stormboy, was there anything else?
No, I think Traffic Warden was probably unlucky not to run a place. I think Hayasugi was out of the race very early. They weren't off to the best of starts and then almost ran through the barrier. There was some brilliant pieces of horsemanship over the course of the weekend. Jamie Carr in the slip at Rachel King later on. Rachel King lost her irons out of the gates and was able to get around safely on Osmosis, which was truly one of the best feats you would see. There was a great line actually from Lizzie, and I have heard it previously before, but during the coverage on Seven on Saturday, and both did a brilliant job with their coverage, Sky and Seven, but she was saying that it was gravity that had her, you know, kept her on the horse, but it was ability that kept her safe. And she did an amazing
Benny,
job.
Benny, you might be able to answer me this, and it might be too hard, and it might be, I don't know, special microphone effects coming through a TV, but why does it sound like Sydney had more atmosphere than the Melbourne Carnival, like at Moonee Valley on Saturday? I've noticed that over the last couple of sort of race meetings. There just seems to be more, I don't know, atmosphere or noise with the coverage than what there is with the Melbourne one.
Yeah, well, I mean, we had a huge crowd at Rose Hill, and as described in the coverage, it does have a habit of going a little bit westy late out there.
Right.
But there is also, it could well be microphone related. It, that depends where it is to pick up that live audio. Yeah.
One, just, you could feel the atmosphere coming through the television at the All Sydney Racing.
One may have the microphone, say, 100 metres up. We have still got the general public close to the track, whereas another might be near the winning post. We've got the mounting yard in between. That's only a little bit of guesswork.
Yeah.
But all I can speak of is our crowds in New South Wales, and they've been absolutely brilliant. We even had a great crowd at Wednesday midweeks up at Wyong. We travelled up there for something.
But it looks
a bit different.
like everyone's there having a good time. Like, it's not just a punting crowd.
They're there to enjoy the races and
have a really good time at the races, but just mingle and mix and get around and have a bit of fun. That's what it seems like when you watch the coverage on Seven.
I will go through a couple of the headlines. One such headline on the Daily Telegraph refers to the Parramatta Eels up against the Seagulls, and that is one controversy that we haven't touched on just yet. Did you happen to see the incident, and more importantly, the call? Because in my opinion, the call was as interesting as the decision itself.
Oh, look, when it goes to the bunker, they're just looking at it in black and white.
Yeah. And that's it was black and white.
That's all they look at. They look at a guy, whether he is a lead runner and stops in the line. If you stop in the line, if you stop before the line, or you go through the line and you don't make contact, play on. But once you stop in the line and you impede the man coming across to tie up that space where the man is about to run through, then they deem that as a obstruction every day of the week. Now, I don't agree with it at times because I think, was it Moretti? Was he the Parramatta guy that pulled up on it? Or I thought he pulled up on his run.
Yeah.
I thought he was buggered.
He looked like he was cooked.
Yeah.
He was just
fatigued. He wasn't getting there.
Yeah.
But he saw an opportunity.
Most definitely he did.
And he made the most of that.
But Jake shouldn't have stopped there.
Yeah. No.
That's exactly what Greg Alexander said in the commentary.
Oh, did he? Yeah.
Exactly what you just said. Yeah. He said, look, I don't necessarily agree with the rule, but if you go on what the rule is, Jake stops in the line.
Once you're sending it to a bunker, they just look at it from a technical point of view and the rules point of view, and he is. One of the key things they tell you is don't stop in the line.
It's a bullshit penalty, though.
Yeah.
It's absolute garbage.
He wasn't going to stop Tom.
No chance. He nearly used Tom to stop him falling over because he was so tired. He was fatigued. Yeah. And he had enough time to even push off Tom and get around him.
Yeah.
But he was just cooked and he just sort of leant on him.
Mate, he wasn't getting there. He wasn't getting there. So I understand why people are disappointed and Manly fans are frustrated. But for me, watching that straight away when I saw it, I went, oh, this won't be a try.
But even that, take nothing away from Parra. They were brilliant.
Yeah, they were.
I thought they were absolutely brilliant against a team that's in full of confidence and in great form. I reckon Parra, they play brilliant.
This is the Big Sports Brekkie. Get those texts coming through 0419 767 272, or that line 1353 53. We would love to hear from you, heroes and villains. Every Monday, you guys know the drill. I just found out you guys aren't working a full week again.
Yeah, I was pumped.
Public holidays, mate.
Oh, we can.
What's the story?
It's optional. You just jump on
Friday.
If you want. Yeah, just jump on if you want and have a chat for a couple of hours.
Part of
You'd be
policy.
On your own, though.
Yeah, by the sounds of it.
Mate, good Friday. What do you want us to do?
You've got a decent lot.
Easter Monday.
Do they pay you full time to work part time?
None of your business. No, get out of there, mate. How much do you get for today?
Not enough.
Oh, I didn't think
so. Put up with you two. Not enough.
We do it for love, Loz and I.
Well, you can work Friday.
Yeah, sure you do. I am working Friday.
Good boy.
Just double time.
Just not with you guys.
See, that's what separates you from us.
That's exactly what race meeting is Friday.
There's plenty. Oh, no. I'm not covering a race meeting.
Actually, I turned on Channel 7 on Saturday morning, and the volume was down, and I saw your dial. On telly, you were getting interviewed from the inside of the track. Now, what was that about?
Wait, so are you suggesting that I was on Sunrise at a little bit after 7 a.m. and still on the coverage until 6 p.m.? That's a long day.
Right.
And
were you doing?
Oh my God, you're the first person
did I then go
ever
to
work a long day.
Did I then go and host an NRL function after that? Yes, I did. Did I interview Gary Payton on Sunday as part of TABEC? Yes, I did.
Yeah, right.
That's welcome,
public
welcome
holidays,
to the grind.
Public holidays.
Welcome
which,
to the grind.
Which game on Saturday? The Tigers.
Both games, yeah, which was great there at the start. They had a good, crowd, actually. But no, on Sunday, I should have mentioned that earlier, and he'd probably be, he was a childhood hero, so I guess he's semi-on theme, but Tabex had an amazing event. So Tabex were our best customers. You know, they love betting on their basketball and those sorts of things. And we had Gary Payton here who, I don't know if you guys were fans of the NBA back in the 90s, but he and Sean Kemp were this formidable duo at the Seattle Supersonics. And we had a lunch at Iceberg's on a magnificent day overlooking perfect Bondi Beach.
Did you say work? What part of this is work?
Well,
you've
interviewed
an idol at Iceberg's when the sun's out. Free feed as well, I'm sure.
I'll organise one of your idols on Friday then and see if you come in.
Hey, mate, if you get Michael Jordan on Friday, I'll be sure to come.
I can't work that. I tried. We did have a lot of NBA officials there, though, and it was lovely to meet them all. Tab put on a brilliant event, which was great. I did see on the back page of the Courier Mail, it is, of course, the Australian Grand Prix. And for those who missed earlier, I did give an update on it, but Carlos Sainz Jr. was fantastic taking it out. Max Verstappen retired. Lewis Hamilton retired. Oscar Piastri finished just outside the podium, which would have been great to see
Lewis
the Aussie.
Was nowhere. Hamilton was fourth. Nowhere the entire weekend.
No, Fernando Alonso's in some strife too. I found out.
You know how I don't.
Not a massive
F1 fan. So Sainz is not going to drive for Ferrari next year. He's been bumped.
Correct.
For Hamilton.
Correct.
He's now my favourite driver. I want him to win.
Why?
Because they're getting rid of him.
Yeah.
And he hasn't got a team for next year. It's a bit of a up yours.
Okay.
That's what I want to see.
You don't like Lewis?
I don't mind Hamilton.
You just don't like you can pick and choose.
Well, no. It's got nothing to do with Lewis. I just don't like how they've got rid of this.
Yeah, okay.
It was a win.
But he'll
find a
face
of adversity,
he'll
too.
He'll find
a team. You know that?
He had a crooked back or a neck or something.
Oh.
Was that right?
No.
No?
Keep going. Name a body part.
I don't know, arm.
I'll tell you when to stop.
Oh, I was going to say something else.
Yeah, leave that one out.
He hadn't.
He was travelling.
I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint.
He had.
We're not too hard.
Yeah, go on.
He had an appendectomy. What is that?
That still
please explain.
He had appendicitis.
There you go.
Had emergency surgery to have
appendicitis? Appendix operation.
Because it's called an appendectomy. And that's what he had.
Yeah,
so what, he had surgery in
Melbourne? You said
he had
a sore arm, mate. I'm just feeling it.
Where did he have surgery? In Melbourne?
No, it was two weeks prior.
Because I heard the commentators talk.
It's 2 weeks ago, that's fine. Appendix.
No, he's only driving a car.
At 320 clicks.
Well, he's driving. You're not rotating your stomach.
Aren't you? No, your
shoulders.
This is meant to be your new favourite driver.
He is.
You like him more now. He's tough.
100%.
He's tough. He
plays with toughness.
Yeah.
Far out.
He's tough. He's
Nick Perkat, well done to you. Just sits in a car and drives, so I don't know why I'm complimenting you, but the 35-year-old supercars veteran now at 35. It was a stunning drought-breaking win there at Albert Park, claiming Sunday's final sprint of the Melbourne Super Sprint. So well done to you as well, despite the fact that Loz has belittled everyone's abilities in motorsport.
Yeah.
We've got a multi-million dollar baby, and I did see this story from Ian Payton as well in the Sydney Morning Herald, how Winx's near-death scare led to the world's most sought-after filly. And he's discussing the Inglis Easter Yearling sales where, yes, the progeny of Winx will go on sale, of course, a world record Group 1 winner, unbeaten in her last 33 races, and she really did captivate the nation.
What are we
world.
Thinking? What price tag?
Millions upon millions.
4 or 5? Or too much?
It's a good question. Maybe we should get on. I might message Fitzy from Inglis, and I'll say to him, what's the ballpark?
Ballpark,
for this filly? Because Loz has a bit of coin, so to Clark.
No, I won't be investing. If I did have the money, I'd love to. I would love to get a horse that is out of it, but I just haven't got the money, mate.
Five mil plus is the chat.
Five mil plus.
Shrapnel for you two.
Won't be seeing
it's a lot of money,
eyes.
Isn't it?
Would you like 10%?
No, thanks.
Loz?
Given? Gifted?
Yeah, gifted.
No, you don't get gifted.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do.
I'm talking to the wrong people.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking to the wrong people.
Maybe
I
not,
don't get gifted.
Maybe not for this horse, but yeah. No, I'll be saving my money. I won't be... I won't be investing. I'll
guys,
be part of the $5 million.
Your heroes and villains.
My heroes are, I've got two jump Jack Jumpers for their brilliant comeback, turnaround, 2-1 up now. Unbelievable. And obviously my Tigers, great win. The way they played was brilliant after they've caught plenty of slack. Plenty of slack. There's been some criticism in the media, lots of talk about Benji, and we didn't start that well. So that's a big win for the Tigers. And unfortunately, my villains are the Rabbitohs. Disappointed last week, but then to see the way they played this week, it's not going to go away, unfortunately. This criticism's here to stay unless they win. It's as black and white as that now. They have to win.
Carlos Sainz is my hero. What a driving performance yesterday down there in Melbourne.
You slagged him off. No less than 45 seconds ago.
I just said he was just driving that car yesterday to the best of his ability. And he did it under duress. And my villain.
Yes.
Adelaide Crows. Mate. They have started the season 0-2.
Are you just fishing here?
Yes, he is.
Are you baiting someone in this
no,
video?
I'm not. No, they're an ordinary footy team.
Oh, come on.
Worst you've ever seen?
Well, they're up there.
Oof.
Oh, just,
they're up there.
You're making,
well, after last year.
You're embarrassing
and all
yourself.
The hype.
Again.
And all the excitement surrounding the Adelaide Crows. And then to dish up two performances like they have. In round one against the Gold Coast.
I mean, they did miss the eight last year, so you might be overstating the promise.
But
that was a failure. They should have made the eight last year.
Coming into this season.
I agree. Don't you join in.
Oh, no, I'm just saying.
You're right.
Oh, I think they should have made the eight last year.
So you're happy with 0-2 start?
Absolutely not. I think they've been disappointing in both performances thus far. Oh. But you've got...
not worst ever.
You've got West Coast that's in a 48-year rebuild. Mm. How can the Crows be the worst ever? I mean, it's just ridiculous. I don't even know why I'm entertaining it. We're getting texts come through.
Good villain.
Good villain.
Yeah, that was good, actually. I mean, completely inaccurate, but it wound me up.
That's normally how we work.
My hero is Sam Whiteman. So Sam Whiteman doesn't get the plaudits that I think he deserves. Skippering the past two Shield titles, great successes as well in other formats with WA. 104 in the first innings, set things up. They set 500 plus for Tassie.
Batted beautifully. Batted in that
lifts
first innings,
in big games.
That wicket was seeming. Now Tassie got it wrong. They couldn't get their line and their length was way too short in that first innings. They won the toss and bowled. There was enough in that pitch. Sam played brilliantly. Let the ball go. Anything fully drove, anything short he cut. He played that was a special innings in that first innings to set the game up for him.
Well,
so I agree. And I actually thought you were going to say Adam Voges, the coach, because Vogesy was a wonderful player. He's gone straight into coaching. And everything he has touched has turned to gold.
Dead set.
I actually, when you were saying that before the break, the 6 o'clock break, I thought you were talking about Vogesy, but Sam Whiteman's the same.
Well, I feel as though Voges at least gets a bit of chatter. Mm. We know more about him given his, stellar national career.
For Australia,
And so Sam, I feel like, just flies under the radar to the point where even ardent cricket fans would struggle to pick him out of a lineup.
Yeah, true.
And I hope I'm not, that doesn't sound belittling. It's not meant to at all. True. I think Sam's just had a remarkable career. So he's led them to a hat-trick of Marsh Cup victories too.
Yeah, this is three in a row. Yep.
So anyway, well done to you. In terms of villains, now I don't want to maybe jump on the bandwagon, but Essendon forward Peter Wright. So he had a hit on Harry Cunningham on the weekend that's been sent straight to the tribunal. And I feel as though everyone's going to think, oh, Ben's just going to sit here and complain about Peter Wright. I'm actually going to have a go at those that sent it straight to the tribunal. I think that it could have been settled well before then. It was a high hit, in my opinion, maybe a two-gamer. The problem is in footy of both codes at the moment, you can get suspended without any ill intent. And that was exactly the case with Peter Wright. Now, some people will say that he took his eye off the ball and he collected Harry Cunningham. He did at the very last minute, but all he did was brace Harry Cunningham's running back with the flight of the ball, maybe across and back, but he's completely exposed. And yes, he's got a duty of care. So for that, happy for him to get suspended. But it doesn't need to be a big escalation, talks of four plus, and he may well get four. It wasn't even paid a free kick, which was completely incorrect on the weekend. But I do feel as though some of these issues need to be dealt with. It was just scaredy cat behaviour, in my opinion.
If he gets in AFL, if he gets sent to the tribunal,
you can get zero or.
All right, you can still get zero. But if you get found guilty, is there a minimum?
No.
But isn't he sent with a certain level? So the minimum he can get is 2 weeks.
So if they deem it to be
grade two or whatever.
The terminology is a little off to what I'm about to use. But if they essentially find it a deliberate act, high impact, with
there's a minimum of 6 weeks.
With major consequences, then you reach a certain
and
formula.
That's what he got.
That takes you to it.
So he's there being sent. So if he gets found guilty, there's a minimum sentence coming.
Correct.
But I would argue he didn't have the relevant intent to take it straight there.
Seems like they've in sport at the moment, they're taking out accidental.
Exactly.
They're going on result. Like, I think we had the same conversation Friday about Reece Walsh. Yeah. I think, well, from my eyes, that looked like a complete accident. But because of the damage done, then there's this whole uproar around, you've got to go for a certain amount of time. Yeah. But I think in the sports we're talking about, particularly, there's going to be injuries because it's tough sport. There's going to be accidental injuries.
And I think you've got to be careful and mindful not to take and make the penalty too harsh on accidents that happen during a contact sport. Because I was only thinking the other day about the Reece Walsh one.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what do you think of that?
I think it was totally accidental.
Okay. So there should have been... who was the Penrith player?
Taylor May.
You reckon Taylor, the right decision's made?
I think... penalty.
Yeah, okay.
Accident, play on.
Okay.
Unfortunately, Reece
has got it now. Fracture. He's out for 4 to 6 weeks.
Cheekbone. So you sort of sit back and go, you don't want to see that happen.
Yeah.
But I think that was just a total accident. Okay. I don't think there was any intent there. Yes, there was intent to get up and be aggressive in the defensive line and stop him, but I didn't think it was a conscious effort to go and attack ahead.
Even though he come out of the line.
Even though
early?
He come out of the line. No. You're just trying to shut him down.
Yeah.
You're trying to shut him
down. See, I think the perception on with the...
Peter Rupp.
Yeah. There's such a size difference in the two players as well.
Yes.
And I reckon that has been considered, which I don't think... I don't think you can do that, but because he's such a big dude, like...
2 metre Peter.
He just
if anything,
him,
it's
you
made...
You know, like, I don't know. Yeah.
If anything, his height makes it unfair. So he's done the same behaviour as a shorter player, but because he's tall, he's got the high contact.
Well, I don't think the force is as powerful if they're the same size.
And he's braced.
You know what I mean?
He's braced for contact. He hasn't lined him up. There's got to be a difference.
He's
between,
certainly, his eyes on the ball for 99% of what happened. You're right. He took his eye off the ball at the last moment.
I still think, give him a week or two. Okay. Remind him that he's got a duty of care, but that's
not for.
This is the Big Sports Breakfast. Laurie Daly, Michael Clark, and Ben Wade taking you through your morning on a very big Monday off the back of a huge sporting weekend. Mitch, heroes and villains time. Who was your hero of the weekend?
Yeah, good morning, fellas. My hero for the weekend was the Golden Slipper Day as a whole. Myself and my partner have been together for 10 years and been going to the Golden Slipper for 10 years. So, it was a great day, not only with her, but with family as well. Just took a bunch of cash and trying to beat up the bookies for the day.
How'd you go?
Did half all right, mate. It was I can't remember the exact bookie who we're going against, but mate, she made a good competition all day, and we're having a good laugh, so it was plenty of fun.
That's exactly what it should be, and the racing was absolutely brilliant. Did you have Lady of Camelot in the slipper, or were you kind of like Gay and Adrian? Were you with the big colts?
I actually backed Straight Charge, who towed the winner. I think that's a Golden Slipper at the end. I think you decide whether you want to back the favourite and the big colts, or you want to kind of look outside.
Any villains?
I guess it's not really, it is kind of a villain, but I guess just that the day could might be overlooked or overshadowed by the incident in the last. I mean, there was a, you know, for a fantastic day to end that way, it was a bit of a downer. And just on that note, I guess the shout out to Brad Widdop and his team. You know, thoughts and condolences with them, because I guess at the end of the day, when you're taking, you know, a horse, which is, you know, something or an animal that you take care of, you feed it and you love it, especially all the strappers, the owners, and to go home with an empty trailer, it would be a gut wrenching feeling. So yeah, thoughts and condolences to them.
Very well spoken, Mitch. And can I just say, you're absolutely spot on. I know firsthand that stable absolutely loved Tintuki, was one of their favourite horses, and as brave as the day was long, really promising career cut, unfortunately, horribly short, had to be humanely euthanised there on track after that fall in the Group 3 birthday card. And just on that, I might give you a bit of an update on Kieran McAvoy. So as you know, a multiple Melbourne Cup and Everest winning jockey. So he's going to be sidelined for the rest of the autumn for a while there. And I was on track, and there's probably only been four or five times in my years on track that I've just had that sinking feeling. We had one in a Sydney Cup where we had to run it again the next week after a horrible incident involving a horse on that day. But that fall and not seeing Kieran move for as long as he did, everyone just got that horrible feeling. His kids had been on track celebrating a fantastic big race success only an hour or two earlier. And to see that, as soon as he moved, you just felt the relief kind of reverberate around the place there at Rose Hill. But he suffered a fractured vertebrae. It was a terrible fall, and I agree, it was a tough end to what was a brilliant day. But he's one of the nice guys too, Mitch, isn't he, Karen?
For people that do follow in the racing, you know, as much as we do go there for the pump, we also go there because, you know, they're the jockeys we want to see. They're the ones that, for myself, like I'm 33, but they're the ones that we grew up with and we know that have been in the limelight. And like I said, it's just it's not a good feeling. And I guess, you know, kind of time stops in a way, and it's also, I guess, a reflection of, you know, the realities, but the dangers that these brave jockeys, and not only in the horses, do go to every week.
Yep, and he was in fantastic hands still, I think, at Westmead Hospital with plenty of discomfort. But the good news is it sounds like it won't require surgery, so it's just going to be time, and we will see Kieran back in the saddle soon enough. Thanks very much to Mitch. Let's get to Ross, heroes and villains time. Ross?
Hey, boys. My villain's the South coach. I don't know why. He's only playing Tom Burgess 25 minutes in the last three games, and he's flogging the Murray and Damien Cook out, making all those tackles. So it's not the halfback or that. It's the defence that's causing the trouble. Mm. And also, too, I've got a lot of mail about South.
Yeah, what have we got, Ross?
When Russell Crowe comes out and says, "Oh, we got your back," well, I'll be scared and a dead man walking. So Demetrio's, he's gone. And
full support of the board, you reckon, Ross?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's what's happening. Yeah. And Wayne Bennett will definitely be there. And he's already spoken to Russell. They're good friends. And Shane Richardson's going to announce that he's not taking up the option at West Tigers for CEO. He's only there for a couple of months. He's got a job offer somewhere else. He won't mention it.
Oh, really? I thought he'd stay there, Richo. I thought he would.
No, he's got a job somewhere else, and you know where.
Yep.
And Wayne will not announce it, where he's going, till the end of the season, because he won't upset the Dolphins' chances of making the eight. And he's already told Philandes he's not coaching a new franchise. He wants to win one more comp. And he's not going to Parramatta because Parramatta's got about 1, 2, 3, 4, about 18 players that contracts finish this year or free agencies, and they're big names. Mm. So he's not going to Parramatta to try and rebuild that team.
I feel like Ross is implying maybe Souths is on the cards.
That's right, because Shane Richardson got Wayne Bennett there the first time. And also, too, Ben Hunt will not be at the Dragons in 25. They just lost the plot down there. I think Shane Flanagan's, I don't know what he's going to do now. They're bleeding points. They've let in 15 tries in two games. And also, too, with yesterday's paper with our mate Buzz, talk about the Sharks. Well, the company that's doing the development down there has gone in receivership. because they're doing development down here where I am at Shell Harbour, the marina, one of the high-rise developments, they've gone broke already. And he said that the shark park's home ground is worth $40 million. I don't know who would buy a bit of dirt with a fence and grass on it for $40 million. So he's no real estate agent.
Ross, we appreciate it as always, mate. I know that you're a very regular listener and regular caller. And to those who haven't ever called through, this is your opportunity, 1353 53, and that SMS number 0419 767 272. This is the Big Sports Breakfast. Laurie Daly, Michael Clark and Ben Way taking you through the morning. What a fantastic weekend it was. Horse racing, five group ones on Golden Slipper Day, ultimately taken out by the filly in Lady of Camelot, and amazing scenes ensued. A bit of controversy in rugby league, as there is each and every week, but a couple of blowouts, controversial calls in close games, and some injuries as well that could define some team season. In the AFL, GWS and Sydney, they currently occupy the top two spots on the AFL ladder. Collingwood's third straight defeat, leaving the reigning premiers in that little bit of strife early. In F1, Carlos Sainz Jr., as it turns out, Loz's favourite driver, managed to take out the 2024 Australian Grand Prix. And in the basketball, a Hail Mary three-point shot from Jack McVay with 2 seconds left on the clock saw the Jack Jumpers secure a remarkable win against Melbourne United, and that NBL Championship Series has been brilliant. They currently lead 2-1, Western Australia taking out the Sheffield Shield yet again. Let's keep those heroes and villains coming through. The text line is on fire. Loz, what are the highlights?
It certainly is, Benny. Morning, boys. Hero Molly Burke races the first winner at Rose Hill, jumps in the car and wins the sixth at Kembla Grange.
Yes, we actually saw a jockey up in Queensland a week or two ago win three races at three venues in the same day.
Wow.
That is grossly underestimated, is the kilometres that these jockeys do each and every day. Yeah. And how long are we talking? An hour and a half down to Kembla Grange. So she's done a brilliant job. And just on Molly Burke, I reckon she had ride of the day on Wednesday as well at 100-1. She managed to lead throughout and pretty much pull the pants down of a few others that are maybe have a better record or longer record than herself at this stage.
Well, that's an outstanding effort. So well done to Molly. Villain Jason Dimitriou just proved the young halfback was not the problem. Cheers, Marco from Blacktown. Hero, Appy Corrissau on the Tigers. Villain, Latrell Mitchell and his antics the other night. Again, they were 20 metres on the attack and Mitchell pushed Cookie out of dummy half. Latrell, you have to run it. No name on that. Hey, fellas, Hero has to be the Mighty Tigers for their win on Saturday. No doubt they were the villain, will be the villain next week. But the villain this week is at the pitch invader in the AFL. If you're going to do it properly, get your kit off.
Did you see
Mitch from Robinson?
Did you see that? Oh, it was actually terrible. So that was at Adelaide Oval in the Crows game, funnily enough. And it required two Crows players to tackle the pitch invader. Security, I don't want to have a go because I have no idea what they're paid to sit there on the sideline, but the security lapsed at bare minimum. They were sitting there as the pitch invader got next to the contest, almost tried to get the footy. A player next to the contest tackles him down, hands him over to security who lets him go. He runs away again, only to have a second player tackle him down. And even then, security looked as though they were a little lost as to what to do with him. So there is no situation where anyone from the crowd, close on or close off, should be getting anywhere near the footy or the contest. It was second-rate security work at best.
Morning, guys. Heroes and villains. Heroes, Man United for beating Liverpool, Carlos Sainz and Ferrari for the win at Melbourne yesterday.
The 1-2, actually.
And the fans that applaud injured players from the field. Villains, the reporters that write clickbait stories so that people will hate on teams and players. Also, New South Wales Government and Penrith Council for allowing roadworks on Mulgoa Road Thursday night to start at 9:30. Yes, that would have been hard. Traffic out of the stadium and onto the M4 took roughly 30 to 40 minutes, normally about 10 minutes. That's from Tim the Panther.
Did you
morning,
get
gents
to Leichhardt, Clark?
I didn't. I had a charity event on Saturday. Oh, right. What was that
for?
Australian Skin Cancer Foundation.
Right.
Raised some money.
You were a guest speaker?
I spoke. I bought a couple of auction items.
Oh, lovely. What were they?
Spent some of my hard earned. I bought a piece of art that was done at the event.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was
Banksy?
I don't think Banksy
was Banksy the
there.
Artist?
Yeah. No. I don't think Banksy was there.
Not there.
Yeah, it was a really good night. We're trying to raise some money for to buy trucks. We've got a couple of trucks out at the moment. They're about 250 grand a truck, and it pretty much allows people to walk in off the street and get a free skin check.
Yeah,
so
cool.
Melanoma's, well, I think it's our number one cancer in Australia. So we've got some work to do, but yeah, it was a really good night. Some tough stories to listen to, some hard stories of people passing, as they always are. But yeah, we a lot of people put their hand in their pocket, and we're trying to raise some money.
Have you ever had a...
I've had lots.
Right.
I think I've had 7 cut out of my face. I had a big one about 3 months ago, 27 stitches out of my chest. And then just before I went to Pakistan, I went and got 11 zapped off my face. So I go every 3 months to get checked. So, yeah, unfortunately, it's with me for the rest of my life now. So I've got to go and have regular checkups and make sure I'm keeping an eye on any spots that make any change, really.
Loz, have you ever had...
I have, yeah. Not as many as Clarkie, obviously, but no, I go for a regular checkup once a year.
Yeah.
Go and see my doctor, and he gives us the look over. I go with my wife, actually. Mm. So we both get checked at the same time, and we book in as soon as we leave for next year. I was surprised a couple of years ago when he told me I had... skin cancer, but anyway, that's what happens. You just got to go and regularly get checked when you've got something wrong or you feel as though something's wrong or doesn't look right.
Yeah, I sort of made an effort to go once a year and should probably go more regularly, but I did notice up at Noosa that they have free skin checks on the beach for everybody, which I thought was a fantastic initiative.
I wonder who that's through.
Up there. Yeah, maybe through the Life Saving Club.
Yeah.
Because
Unreal.
The club's so, it's brilliant there.
Yeah.
And I'm
we need
sure.
to do more. It's way too expensive. Mm. Like going to your GP is expensive enough. Going to a dermatologist, you're looking at somewhere between $300 and $600 an appointment. You know, and you've got probably a 3 month waiting list to get in. It's so hard to get in. So yeah, I think unfortunately the government need to step in. I think it's too important. I think there's too many people. I think it's someone dies every 6 hours. So it's ridiculous. So we need to be doing more. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, well done in buying a couple of the items there. And it sounds as though the artwork, you got
artwork's
a spot
awesome.
For it?
Yeah, definitely. Beautiful. I'll find somewhere. Yeah, it's
all right.
Fantastic.
Peter's text through. Hero front page, run of the day in my book from a horror gate. And the villain, Latrell Mitchell, who else? Oh, well, Latrell has got a couple of mentions this morning. Let's get to our callers. Paul, hero and villain time. Who are they?
Morning, boys.
How are you, Paul?
Morning, buddy.
It's Paul from Cog. How are you going, Laurie?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. How are you?
Going okay.
What have you got for us? What's up?
I'm actually at a Rararua. I'm over in New Zealand at the moment.
So. Oh, geez, you're back over there. It's the last time I saw you was in New Zealand.
Yeah, I've got to do some work over here.
Ah, beautiful. Good man.
So the hero, our very own Brad Davidson.
Oh. How many did he get right?
Well, he got. Well, put it this: I was out the slipper on Saturday with the Laurel Oak boys, and that there was over 100 of them out there. So they had a tipping competition. So I just got his little book out. So he's tipped 5 winners in 2 places.
Wow!
Right, I was first, and Daylight was second.
Jeez, he's on fire, Dave. Huh?
He's on fire.
That's a good result.
I did see that he was on Twitter pumping up his own tyres after Saturday. So I knew he'd had a good day. Do you have a villain, Paul?
The villain would be not the basically Rose Hill. So we went out to one of the terraces. You're going to do the Golden Slip. You want to do it well. So we went out to the terraces. You know, over $500 a ticket, right? And it's $95 in a taxi backwards and forwards to get home. Then I go and I want a beer. Or they got Slashes, 4X, Gold, and Great Northern. So I said to the bloke, "Can I get a 2 you?" And he goes, "That'll be $9.80." I thought, this is a bit wrong, isn't it? So. The villain is you've got to have some flexibility when they do the catering date.
They've offered you 3 types of beer. How flexible do you need them?
Well, I'm a bit like Paul, though. I'm a bit like Paul.
Yeah,
I think if you're paying that money, they should be able to get you what
you
want.
Bring whatever
it's different
you want.
If it's a different brand in terms of, like, if it's CUB or Lion Nathan.
Well, it probably is.
No, 2E's. 4X. I'm assuming it was Lion.
Maybe.
Because that's what it... They supply the Forex gold.
They have contract. They can't just bring in whatever your favourite.
Yeah, but they would be downstairs. But if you're paying for a ticket, $500.
No, I'm in your terrace. You've got an Esky, and the bar's behind you. Like
For 700, you're saying you should be able to bring in your own Esky.
No. They don't bring in their own Esky. They have their own Esky there. I thought you'd be able to get a Tui's out there for sure, especially if they're serving you downstairs.
Well, they're serving right behind me. Well, I reckon they'd have walked 7 metres.
Were you okay with the 7 metres pull? I'm going to defend the ATC.
Well, you can, and I usually would too, but I think there could be more flexibility shown there, given that you're paying a lot of money for a ticket.
He has a point. Mm. If you pay that much money and the beer happens to be there.
Be there, yeah.
Then it should probably
And
be
I understand included. If it's in conflict with another brewer that's not a part of the race day, I get all that. But I just reckon if you're paying that amount of money and the beer is on site, you should be able to.
Were you happy with the food, Robbo, or there was an hors d'oeuvre that you liked that unfortunately wasn't on the menu?
Very happy with the food.
Must have been happy.
Food was good.
Didn't eat.
I think we've all been to enough events.
I
drink scotch, I don't drink beer, right? Just scotch and cokes. Well, nearly every catered event, they don't just hand out scotch and cokes, with good reason, I might add. Mm. Right? So I quite often have to drink champagnes or things that I probably would prefer not to drink all day at the race. Yeah. Pretty hard to go to woe on champagne.
Yeah.
Right? So that's a regular thing, but I realise that is just, it is what it is. I have to pay extra for a scotch.
Oh, yeah. And I get that. But what I'm saying is, and I think Paul makes the point, is that they're serving it
downstairs.
Well, downstairs, 7 metres away.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's a conflict of beverage provider. It's all under the one banner.
Unless it is in that section, which you couldn't imagine it would be. That close.
No, that's exactly right.
If it's in the venue, it's in the venue.
And it's different if you're downstairs or in the members or whatever. Yeah. And you're paying $500 and you can...
I think it was $700.
Well, $700. Yeah. I don't know what... Yeah. But, mate, when you're paying that type of money, if it's on site, you should be able to get it.
Yeah. Let's get to Robbo. Hero and villain, Robbo.
Good morning, List Westy. God, good to hear your voice. Hey?
Who?
Westy?
Hey, the TAB lunch pin.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I knew, Dad, is that you?
You're unbelievable. If there's a lunch, you're there. Good on you. Well done.
You're spot on there. Now, I think I've been to 5 lunches in 3 days, which is weird. But how was your weekend? Jesus, sport was good, Robbo.
Yeah, well, full on, wasn't it? It was. If you don't like motor racing, you had your AFL and your NRL, and but you had everything, and you had NBA. All it was just everything. If you couldn't find something you like, well, and the racing, of course, you're very hard to please.
Did you have a villain for the weekend?
Yes, the bunker and the refereeing in that Manly Parramatta game. Yes, I'm a Manly supporter, but I took the Eels in the tipping comp. I mean, this shepherding or whatever you want to call it rule, there's got to be some common sense applied, which just ain't going to happen, I know. Mm. When that bloke, Jake, ran near him and they both stopped running, and then the bloke realised, he wasn't going to get there on a council bus. I can tell you that right now. And away we go, Manly lose a try over it. I think that's just ridiculous.
I think we need to pester Loz on that one, and we will do a little bit later on. I feel as though there's more to say on that front, and we've seen so many Manly supporters messaging through. Robbo, appreciate your work. Macca, here on Villain Time.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Well, good to have you on.
I want to pick my hero is James Agesto. I don't think you guys are speaking enough highly of him today. I personally think he was brilliant against the Rabbitohs, and I think he's back at his best considering what you had last year. I personally think he might have a bit of injury or something that's carrying him along during the season. That's why I think he's probably not playing his best football. but on the weekend and even before that, I think he's at his best, James Tedesco.
Yep.
So I'm going to pick him as my he was an amazing player, great leader, great everything, you know. He was every player. He's the type of player you want in your team, and he was brilliant.
I feel as though he was a little maligned last year too, wasn't he? He sort of had his critics.
Yeah, he was playing a team that wasn't playing well, lack of confidence, probably trying to overplay his hand.
I don't think Origin helped.
No, probably he copped a bad rap from that. But he was playing a different way as well. He was getting his hands on the ball, but probably playing like a back rower or a front rower, just a yardage player, you know. Mm. Whereas this year he's doing everything. And he's playing in a team where they all know their role. They're all doing it well. And he's exceptional when he's playing on the front foot, James. And I think you're right, Macca. I think he started the season off in fantastic form.
Macca, a quick villain?
Yeah, absolutely. Been brilliant. Also, my villain, look, I've got to give it to the Rabbitohs. You know, everyone, Blaney, Latour, Mitchell and Cody Walker, yeah, or the coach, you know. And everyone giving a hard time to the coach. Yeah, but it's not the coach's fault. They're just sure Mitchell, Cato Walker, other players dropping the ball, missing the tackle, not kicking the ball and play. I mean, that's why the whole Rabbitohs at this moment, you can tell there's something not right, you know? That's not the real Rabbitohs we see. So yeah. I'm going to pick the Rabbitohs as my villain as a whole. I can't just blame Mitchell and Cato Walker, and I'm blaming the whole team, the whole staff, everybody.
No, spot on, Macca. I think a few have suggested that South's there's something awry at the moment because they're certainly not playing as their lists would suggest they should. Wallabies legend, Matty Burke, great to have you on the show. As always, Berkey, the Crusaders winless after falling to the Blues 26-6. What is going on with those current champs?
Yeah, morning, Ben. Morning, boys. It's interesting, isn't it? I scratch my head. There's reasonable play that these guys are doing, but they're just getting sort of out-muscled. They're getting out-performed. They're getting out-enthused. Certainly Rishi Mwanga leaving after the World Cup and going up to Japan has hurt them. But, you know, I don't think they've changed their style of play. They just don't seem to be clicking at the moment. And at the moment, it looks like it's a lay-down misère for everyone to get the win over the of the Crusaders. It's it is absolutely astonishing. You know, looking at this team who are 14-time champions and the rest of it, they just can't get it together.
What about the Hurricanes, buddy? They're complete opposite side of the spectrum, and they beat the Rebels as well. So what's that, 5 from 5?
Flying, pup. Absolutely flying. I watched the highlights again of that last night, and yeah, look, Melbourne didn't really fire any shots. They did get a couple at the back end there, but you know, you talk about, you know, what you need in a team, and it's big, strong, it's fast. They've got some guys in the backs who are just, you know, zippy and pulling triggers, that kind of stuff. They were super impressive. Obviously they're playing at home, and Melbourne were sort of disorganised. They were a bit of a rabble at the moment, and you can probably understand why. I think Dangunu said, "I'm not going to play the other day because, you know, what's my future hold for me?" So there's obviously unrest in amongst that team at the moment. But Hurricanes were just flying. They sit on top of the ladder for a reason, and the form shows too. White, unbelievable.
Now, Berkey, on Saturday, I was flicking around, and I didn't know the Waratahs were playing, but I got the back end of the game, so I got the last 20 minutes in regular time and then extra time. From your perspective, yeah, against Fiji, and I know the conditions weren't great for us to travel over there, but geez, that's a loss we shouldn't be having, isn't it?
It's, you know what, there's more teams are going to lose over there than going to win over there, Loz. That's a tough joint to play. Look, and you know, sport, we say you don't deserve to win, you know, you got to earn that win, and look, they just need a bit of luck at the moment, the Tars. I mean, mind you, going into halftime break at 26-7 or 26-10, I think it was. They at parts in that game, they're their own worst enemy. Dropping ball, losing possession. It was difficult over there. But I suppose, again, we talk about a grind. You know, we talk about their ability to come back from that. Again, previously, I think in previous years, I should say that, that scoreline would have blown out. So a bit of luck to have the chance to go there. They took the field goal option. Didn't work for them. Perhaps they could have held on the ball and scammed a penalty and get that that goal in extra time. But it's a long way to go to lose in extra time. So
are they improving in your mind?
Yeah, they are. Loz, they are. Yeah. I mean, as I said, you need a bit of luck sometimes. You don't deserve to win games. It's just that just doesn't. It's not a given. But they are. They've got some grind about them at the moment. The grind hopefully turns into a W very soon for them. But frustrating at the same time. Sit on the edge of your seat stuff. But you've got to turn those, as you said, you've got to turn those into victories, Loz, when you're in that position.
We'll quickly touch on the upcoming weekend as well. So the Hurricanes are 5-5 now. They beat the Rebels 54-28. And the Rebels now are up against the Tars. That'll be at Allianz. Both teams in a bit of a slump. How do you see it playing out?
Yeah, Friday night, doubleheader. I'm hoping, from a Waratahs point of view, they get a reasonable crowd at the stadium on Friday night, a good Friday clash, and they can actually justify, I suppose, all the training and all the work that they've been doing by getting a win. So, look, it will be tough, absolutely. When you're looking at these two teams, both desperate to get wins and climb up the ladder. So, expect them to be on and up and pumped and ready to go. So, it's a tough one, but I mean, this far out, boys, have they got odds on the game? Because it's going to be, it'll be tight anyhow, that's for sure. Both teams, looking for that win.
I'll go through prices as soon as we have them, mate. The Brumbies, 3 on the trot. They're looking to make it 4 against the Reds. Yes or no?
Yeah.
Will they get it?
Loz's boys. Reds were out enthused the other day by the Western Force. So, I think they thought they were going to turn up and just get the win and say thanks for coming, fly over to Perth. But Western Force were pretty good. They stole the ball. A guy called Carlo Pizzano was outstanding at number 7. He sort of outshone sort of that back row that Queensland have at the moment of Harry Wilson and McWright and crew. And they got the job done. So, but the Brumbies are just, they're another gear. Loz, your boys from Canberra. We spoke about the other day about, good teams winning on the grind, so to speak, and they were able to do that. And last week was just a display. It was, forward power, it was backline, sort of, silked in, so to speak. There was some good kicking game there. I talk about the tens that are going around the place at the moment, and Noah Lolasio is one of those guys, again, who's lifted his game. I think that small stint in France has helped him out.
All right, Berkey. Enjoy the week. Great to have you on.
Boys.
I'll be following your selections in. Don't worry about that.
Good to hear your dulcet tones again, pup. Well done, mate.
Thank you, buddy.